for mass deportations, and we want our campuses to protect us.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you undocumented yourself, and where did you come from originally?
I am not undocumented. My family and I migrated to the U.S. when I was 7 years old.
From
Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I recently received my green card through a U visa, which is granted to victims of any sort of violence. However, I was undocumented for 14 years. It has just been a year since I received my green card. In a way, I have been protected. However, I don't believe that U visa should be the way that people fix their statuses.
And what is the climate among your fellow students, especially those who are undocumented since the election?
Many of them are worried that because especially at CUNY, where we don't receive financial aid, many of the scholarships don't apply for only DACA students, but there's very restrictions, as in, like, you had to be graduated from high school to qualify for it, or you had to be a transfer student from a community college. And many of them worry that their work permit might not allow them to work in future, so they might not afford their education within CUNY, even though CUNY is, like, one of the most affordable public universities in the U.S. But now, without the work permit, it means that they can't work, and now they have to focus on education, and now the fear of deportation is there, which really affects their mental health.
And Miguel Andrade, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the participation of faith groups in the movement in sanctuary cities in Philadelphia, because obviously that's the center of the Quakers, who have always been involved in the sanctuary movement for years. What's been the participation of the churches and other institutions as well?
Sure. I mean, for many years, we have seen that that faith-based institutions have been very strategic and very willing to participate and help marginalized people in this country, and specifically and also immigrant communities. I think it's also, I heard one of the local pastors say when we were having a meeting that not many years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago, there was another empire that was trying to tear apart families. So it's people who are driven by faith to keep the family unities together and to protect the human rights of people. And we have seen that so many people have been that coming out from faith communities to support communities and to also offer sanctuary for people, which is what we're seeing happening here in Philadelphia with Javier Flores.
Well, I want to go back to Javier Flores, a Mexican-born father of three who's seeking sanctuary in the Arch Street United Methodist Church in Philadelphia.
But we have all overcome so much. We have risked our lives for a better future for our children. I think it's worth it to keep fighting, to keep moving forward, because one day we will defeat all the obstacles and be free with our family.
And Miguel Andrade, the importance of this particular, this first test case of Javier Flores, what are you hoping to accomplish?
This is WUSB Stony Brook.
Sure. I mean, Javier comes in a long line of people who have sort of taken up an act of resistance against the oppression and the systemic systems that are tearing apart our families. And Javier is basically demanding, Javier has said it himself, that he's demanding President Obama to end his deportation, to put a moratorium on all the other deportations that are happening to all the immigrant communities out here, and to also dismantle and disassemble the deportation machine that this administration has sort of built and maintained. For many people in the immigrant community, President Obama will be going down in history as a deporter-in-chief, and he needs to address this and know that he's still our president right now, even though we have President-elect Trump, and Obama needs to dismantle the deportation machine before handing it over to somebody that has run a campaign based on so much xenophobia and racism.
And Olivia Vasquez, a DACA recipient, a message to your fellow DACA recipients across the country, if you want to give one, and also to other college students about what role they can play as Trump assumes the presidency.
So I think that my message would be to stand up and fight back as we chant on the streets. I think that more than ever, This election has brought a lot of communities together. We know that the immigrant community is not the only one being under attack. We know that we also have our Black brothers or sisters that are under attack, or Muslims brothers and sisters, or LGBT communities. Women are being under attack. So as we say, I think that it is time now that all of us unite and stand up and fight back, fight for our rights, fight for our freedom.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all, Denise Vivada, student organizing for a sanctuary campus at CUNY. Also to Olivia Vasquez and Miguel Andrade in Philadelphia with Juntos, the group that is working in sanctuary city and campuses there. That does it for today's show. We will be celebrating Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary with Harry Belafonte, Noam Chomsky, Patti Smith, and more this December 5th in New York City. Visit democracynow.org for details. I'm Juan Gonzalez, and Amy Goodman will be back very soon. She's on assignment. Thank you for listening.
WUSB thanks Stony Brook University, our business sponsors, and our listeners for their support. To give a gift to the station, call us at 631-632-6901 or visit wusb.fm/pledge. To learn about our underwriting program, please email business@wusb.fm.
Lung cancer is a disease of uncontrolled cell growth in the tissue of the lung. It is the most common form of cancer in men and the second in women. Annually, it claims roughly 1.3 million deaths worldwide. Smoking is by far the main cause of this terrible and often fatal disease. But you already know this, yet many of you still refuse to quit. Put down the carton, compadre. You won't regret it. Check out www.quitassist.com for help.
The John T. Mather Memorial Hospital's thrift shop is in need of volunteers so they can continue their 27 years of community service, and you can help with just a few hours of your time each week. The shop raises money to support the programs of the not-for-profit community hospital, and they need volunteers to extend their hours of operation and to better serve the public. If you have some extra time on your hands and would like to volunteer, please contact the thrift shop at 473-1320, extension 4092, or call Dorothy Perricone, Director of Volunteer Services at Mather Hospital, at 476-2749. That's 473-1320 or 476-2749.
Hi there. This is George Rudolph back again, joining you with the Jazz Marathon after that little Democracy Now! Break. And we have another break coming up from around, I'd say, 6:45 till about 9 o'clock, which is going to be the women's basketball game. And they'll be up there in a little while. In the meantime, I'd like to continue with the Jazz Marathon. Encourage folks to give us a call here at 631-632-6901 and make a pledge to WUSB. You can do that live or you can do that on the web at wusb.fm. Just hit the little pledge bar on the left-hand side of the screen and go about your business, as it were. Anyway, you know, I think I said this a few times today. You know, you can't have a discussion without jazz, without talking about something. So in this particular case, it happens to be Latin-Cuban jazz. And thanks to Filipito and Gabe, Gabe sent me some music that I could play so I could give you guys a little bit of a Latin flavor to the kind of jazz that comes out of South America and Cuba and the Caribbean. Trying to get it to play here.
The sophisticated harmonies of jazz and the solid strength of Afro-Cuban rhythms. Latin jazz. sophisticated harmonies of jazz. And the solid strength of Afro-Cuban rhythms. Latin jazz.
Hey, this is George Rudolph coming to you again. That was some nice Latin jazz. Thank you very much to Gabe Romero and Filippito for filling us in for that. You know, we've got a women's basketball game coming up in about 10 minutes. So I'm going to put on another tune here, another tune from this fabulous collection of Latin music we've got. And then I'm going to pave the way for the next guy to come along. So from around 6:45 till about 9 o'clock or a little bit after that, we'll be having the women's basketball game. You know, he told me who they were playing, but I forgot. So I apologize for that. But let me just go out with this tune right here, and we'll be talking to you a little bit later on anyway. Love your company on the Jazz Marathon. And don't forget, we've got the Fresh Tones coming in tonight. They'll be playing live for us. That's some local talent, local jazz talent from the island. They got a tenor saxophone, an upright bass, and a guitar player who is just phenomenal, as are the other players as well. So there you go. That's the little lineup for tonight. Plus, we'll be playing a little bit more jazz for you later on in the evening. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. This is George Rudolph signing off for the women's basketball game, and we've got another Latin jazz tune or two coming up. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye.
And the Jazz Marathon will continue immediately following our broadcast of Stony Brook Women's Basketball, coming up just a few minutes away here at 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. And on the internet, we are WUSB FM. Stay with us. The Seawolves versus the Columbia Lions, coming up just 2 minutes away.
Red beans and rice, etouffee, gumbo, hurricanes at Pato's, blues on Basin Street, Rue Bourbon at its finest, and bring me on back to Jazz Fest. Got a Jones for New Orleans? I know I do. Spin that dial to 90.1 FM, alternating Thursday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. on WUSB, and the bayou will bring you on down home as close as you can get to those sultry breezes by the Big Muddy, where music and good times rule. So pass la crevesse at Tabasco, and laissez les bon temps rouler.
The river is high and the sandbags are sinking low. Someday Barack will buy and roll out the red carpet on the edge of a light, and we'll stake up the river and rejoice in style. Break out a bottle of fine gulping wine and raise cane down in the little town.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation, and today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets, they're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, formerly of the New York Jets, and you're listening to Division I Seawolves Sports on WUSB 90.1 FM.
And it is a pleasure to have you here with us on this Tuesday evening as the clock counts down to the turkey. Less than 36 hours away to our delicious meals. I'm Dave Mollo. This is 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, 6:46 p.m. And we have WUSB Sports on tap for you. Stony Brook Seawolves women's basketball as they look for their first win of the season. They face the Columbia Lions right here at home at the Island Federal Credit Union Arena. Let's send it back now. Send it down now to the arena. Cameron Boone with all the coverage for us.
Welcome, one and all, here to Island Federal Credit Union Arena on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I am Cameron Boone as we get set for the Stony Brook Seawolves and the Columbia Lions right here on WUSB. Let's take a look at the home squad first. The Seawolves coming in 0-3 on the season, playing three tough games against Iona, Hofstra, and Syracuse, coming out on the losing end. But now they are looking to get off of that schneid. They're up to their worst start since 2011-2012. They started 0-3 that season as well. But their last win at home came on February 6th, 2016. It was a 60-46 win over UMass Lowell. They're looking to give the home fans something to cheer about before everybody heads home for the Thanksgiving break. And one thing that is really happened over these first three games is the rebounding. They were minus 18 in the rebounding margin against Iona in their first game of the season. Since then, they were plus 3 against the CAA regular season champs from a year ago in Hofstra, and they were even with Syracuse, who were the runners-up in the 2015-16 NCAA tournament and feature a ton of height down low. They are led by Krista Scardamilio, the senior out of Orangeburg. She leads the league in defensive rebounding. Aaliyah Worley is tied for second in offensive rebounds. Both are in the starting lineup here tonight. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, let's head inside the locker room. Coach McCombs touches on that and a couple other things in our pregame interview.
We are talking here with head coach Caroline McCombs. And after a tough start to the season, but you guys played three really good opponents, playing Columbia, not necessarily an easy opponent, but easier than the first three. So what do you guys are going to have to do tonight in order to be able to pull out a victory here?
Yeah, well, you know, having watched all three of Columbia's first games, you know, they lost the first one. It was a close one, tied with UMBC, and then they go on the road and win two games. So a very strong opponent, in our opinion. Very similar players as they've gotten older. We've played them for 3 years now, and they've just continued to get better and better with Zimmerman and Oliver really leading their program.
And Zimmerman obviously leads the rebounding attack, something you guys have gotten better at. You were minus 16 against Iona, but then plus 3 against Hofstra, even with Syracuse. What has changed on the rebounding front for you guys to be able to really attack on the glass and, you know, do very well in that category?
Yeah, really after the Syracuse game, just having a long talk about a commitment to rebounding and knowing that that's going to, you know, win and lose us ball games, and we can't give up those offensive rebounds. So as it might not be our half-court defense that necessarily is hurting us as much as it is the second shots.
And then you guys shot very well from deep overall against Syracuse. So what are you guys going to have to do offensively, do you think, in this one to be able to put up kind of the same production you guys were able to do in the half-court on Friday night?
Yeah, well, we want to continue to attack. We want to attack, get to the paint, play inside out. We've been working a lot on our footwork. We had a lot of unforced turnovers against Syracuse, and we need to cut those back, or, you know, really taking care of ourselves. So I like it. We didn't take a lot of threes. We took really good threes, and we were able to knock those down, so more high percentage shots. But continuing to attack, get to the free throw line as well.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you.
And that is head coach Caroline McCombs, as she is always kind enough to give us some time before the game. And the Seawolves shot 42% from deep in that game. They are fourth in the conference in that category, shooting 32% from beyond the arc in their first three games. And they're going to go in against the team she mentioned rebounding. Well, not a lot of teams do it better than Columbia. They lead the Ivy League in rebounding offense, rebounding defense, rebounding margin. They're tied for first in defensive rebounds. They're second in offensive rebounds. So safe to say Megan Griffith's club gets to the glass, and that is something Stony Brook's going to have to do here tonight, is box out and control the glass. Columbia coming onto the road, they're in unfamiliar territory. They're looking for their third straight road win, and they haven't won three in a row on the road since February of 2008. They defeated Richmond, they defeated St. Francis. They're looking to go 3-for-3 on this road trip before heading back to Thanksgiving and then taking on Colgate on Sunday afternoon back at home. And they are led by the two-time Ivy League Player of the Week, Camille Zimmerman. She is our Columbia Impact Player as we go in and take a look at her. And she earned her 10th Ivy League honor with Player of the Week. That was just released yesterday. She leads the Ivy League in a plethora of categories: points, rebounds, offensive rebounds, double-doubles, field goals made, field goals attempted. So definitely someone to look at. If you are the Seawolves, Aaliyah Worley will probably be matched up with her. You will see Krista Scognamilio on her. So I think defensively will be very interesting to see how Stony Brook attacks Zimmerman on the defensive end. And for the Seawolves, it is Corey Bain Walker. She entered this season as a career 22.5 three-point shooter, but has made 5 of her 8 from downtown in 3 games. That 62.5 percentage from deep is tied for first in the conference. She's also top 5 in scoring. She's averaging about 14.3 points per game. She's top 2 in assists at 4, and she is shooting 60.9% from the field. That's good for third in the America East. She's the do-it-all guard, is healthy, and is taking control offensively this season. And that is something that Coach McCombs wanted to see from her, from the senior guard, and she is seeing it here in these first 3 games of the year. Keys to the game for Stony Brook? Well, we talked about KBW, but who's another scorer? You're looking for a consistent scorer from this Seawolves team. You had Biz Manor, went for 13 and 16 in her first 2 games, looked to be big. but only had 4 against Syracuse. You had Davion Wingate, who had 16 against Syracuse, but hasn't really done a ton over the first two games. Lauren Williams had 14 against Hofstra, little slow in the other two against Iona and Syracuse. So who is going to be that second scorer? And if they can get it soon, then this team will be really dynamic on the outside. It will open up the inside for the likes of Biz Manor and Keena Smith down low. And for the Seawolves and for Columbia, it's turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. First for Stony Brook, they have 73 in 3 games. There were 38 in that Syracuse game, so it's a little bit of an outlier. But if you take that game out, that's 35 in 2 games. Not a great number for Coach McCombs' clubs. She talked about it. They want to take care of the ball, take care of themselves, get shots up, because they shoot 38.5% from the field. That's a good percentage for a team early in the year. So that is something. You get more shots up, obviously it's going to end in more points and a 0.4 assist to turnover ratio. And that's not saying that the Seawolves don't share the ball. They average 11 a game. They have to be able to hold on to the basketball. And that's something definitely that Coach McCombs preached in the locker room before the game. On the Columbia side, they're the bottom of the Ivy League. They're not in the bottom in a lot, but they are the bottom of the Ivy League with 21.7 turnovers per game, and they only force 14.5, and they allow a lot of points off of turnovers. Namely, last game on Saturday when they took on St. Francis, they allowed 30 points off of turnovers to St. Francis in what was a 7-point game ending in a win for the Lions, and they got to control the glass. We said they lead the league in almost every single rebounding category. They have to get to the glass. Look for Camille Zimmerman to get to the glass. She's averaging 14 rebounds per game. Josie Little is averaging 5.7. Torrey Oliver is averaging 5.3. There are your three big players if you're Columbia getting to the glass, and look for them to get there here today. We take a look at the starting lineups for the Seawolves. It's the same as it's been for the first three games of the season. Lauren Williams, Krista Scognamiglio, Corey Bain Walker are the guards. Aaliyah Worley's inside, as is Biz Manor. She didn't take a lot of shots against Syracuse. She only got 2 up, but made them both in a 4-point outing. Look for her to get more involved in this one for the Seawolves. For the Lions, the guards are Paige Tippett, Paulina Corner, and Camille Zimmerman. Down low, Josie Little and Torrey Oliver. Oliver is the 5th all-time leading scorer in Columbia history, and she's the all-time leader in free throws made. She's also had Stony Brook's number. She put 30 up on the Seawolves as a sophomore. She's also had at least 7 rebounds in all 3 games as a Lion against Stony Brook. So we've got the stage set. Let's get the pregame festivity started. Here's our public address announcer, Thomas Janis.
Welcome to Island Federal Credit Union Arena for tonight's Greek Night game featuring the visiting Columbia Lions and your Stony Brook Seawolves! Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we ask that you please rise as we honor the United States of America and those who protect our freedoms with the playing of our national anthem being performed tonight by the Spirit of Stony Brook Pep Band. For the visiting Columbia Lions. At forward, number 3, Josie Little. At guard, number 4, Paige Tippett. At guard, number 14, Paulina Corner. At forward, number 20, Camille Zimmerman. And at forward, number 32, Torrey Oliver. The head coach of Columbia is Megan Griffith.
Griffith, in her first season as Columbia Lions head coach, she won two games here. She was a graduate of Columbia in 2007. She is assisted by Will Ingersoll, Tyler Cordell, Devin Fountain, and Michelle Bielik. As the intro video playing right now for Stony Brook, a little bit into Griffith, her first head coaching job, and she's really in a carousel of head coaches for Columbia. She's the third coach in 4 years for this Columbia team. Stephanie Glantz, Sheila Rue made up the last three, and she's got her team coming back off of what was really a historic win for Columbia. They came up their first double-digit halftime comeback since February the 2nd, 2008 against Brown. They trailed St. Francis on Saturday afternoon, 46-36 at half. They came back and won 84-77. Here's Chris Murray. It's time to announce the Stony Brook starting lineup.
Are you ready? Here is your Stony Brook starting lineup. At guard, a 5'8" junior from North Babylon, Long Island, number 0, Lauren Williams. At guard, a 5'11" junior from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, number 21, Aaliyah Whirly. At forward, a 6'1" senior from Vienna, Virginia, number 24, Elizabeth Manner. At guard, a 5'9" senior from Orangeburg, New York, number 4, Krista Scanamilio. And at guard, a 5'5" senior from Rochester, New York, number 5, Corey Fain Walker. The honorary coach from the Stony Brook College of Business, Peter Capriello. The assistant coaches are Jania Sims, Audrey Cunningham, Janie Mitchell, and Dan Ricard. And the head coach for your Seawolves, Caroline McCombs.
In her third season is Coach McCombs, the graduate out of Youngstown State in 1998. She is looking to get the Seawolves their first win of the season. Unfamiliar territory for her. She had won season openers in her first 2 years here, so she's looking to get this team rolling here at home. It's a series that dates back to 1985. They split the first seven, or the first eight meetings, 4-4. Stony Brook has taken the last three. They lead the all-time series 7-4. Stony Brook in their whites, Columbia in the blue. We are underway here at Island Federal Credit Union Arena. The Lions will be going right to left on your radio dial. Wherever you are joining us here this evening, we thank you for doing so. Zimmerman at the right elbow, drives in, can't get it to go. Torrey Oliver has the offensive rebound. Lauren Williams was there, got victimized of the non-box out. And Oliver has the first 2 points of the night. It will go to Columbia. Williams on the left wing. Tippett sagging off to the left wing, Walker now. Corey drives in, gets to the right side, lays it up and lays it in. The Rochester native gets Stony Brook going. Here, first two shots have gone in, one for either time. It's 2-2 here, 40 seconds into the first. This is Little at the top of the key, guarded by Manner. She dribbles to the right side, kicks right wing corner. Back to the top, Little, holding there, to the left side. This is Tippett, one more to the corner, Oliver. Oliver dribbling to the top, guarded by Williams. Oliver kicks to the right corner, corner with it with 5 seconds. Corner, dribbles to the middle, kicks out, Little dribbles down the right side of the lane, goes up with it off the glass and gets it to go as the shot clock goes off. Paulina Corner the German sophomore, able to give Columbia the 4-2 lead. Bain Walker left to right to the left wing, Lauren Williams. Gets a screen from Manor. Low to the left wing again. Bain Walker to the block. Manor spins, going in on Little. Spins back to a right, no good. And the rebound for Paige Little. Back comes Columbia right to left. Corner. Lays it off to Little at the top. She's holding there, guarded by Worley. To the right wing. This is Oliver. Guarded by Scognamiglia. To the free throw line. Zimmerman back to the basket. Finds corner at the top of the key. 15 to shoot for Columbia. Corner guarded by Williams. Bounce pass to the left elbow. Zimmerman back to the basket. Guarded by Worley. 6 to shoot. Zimmerman dribbles into the lane. Pulls up with a shot and got it to go. Camille Zimmerman, the junior out of Tempe, Arizona, makes her presence felt here early. 6-2 Columbia. They've made their first, or they made three of their last four shots. To the top of the key, Williams. One more left wing. Bain Walker. Corey back to the left wing. Lauren. Bounce pass into Manor. Got tipped by Little initially. Didn't work. Now Scognamiglio flashes into the lane and gets the left-hand layup. Scognamiglio! Scognamiglio from the near corner flashed into the lane, and Manor saw her and gave an open layup. And the lead is 6-4 for Columbia, 2.5 minutes in. On the right wing, corner, guarded by Scognamiglio. Paulina drives in, pulls up, hits. Four of their last four for Columbia. It is 8-4 Lions. Here with 7:12 to go in the opening quarter. To the right wing, Scognamiglio. To the top of the key, Worley. One more left wing. Bain Walker. Let's go. The three. Off back iron. No good. Skying in the air for the rebound was Oliver. Scognamiglio tried to come in from behind. Couldn't get it. And Columbia will come back right to left now. Corner slows down to the top. This is Little. Driving down the left side of the lane. Paige Little out of control, but a foul is going to be called. And it looks like she got a push in the back. Scognamiglio is going to get victimized there. And it's her first, the first of the game. And it will be underneath, says the official Kathy May. She is assisted tonight by Kevin George and Joe Maurice. Zimmerman in the left side corner, and we're underway again. Inside, Zimmerman at the right block, missed the layup. Rebound got tapped out, and Bain Walker's got it going left to right now. Corey slowing down, gets a screen from Worley. To the left elbow, Corey drives in. Bounce pass out to the left wing, outside the arc, Lauren Williams. To the top of the key, Worley again with 15 to shoot. Lee, back to the top, Williams. Lauren drives down the right side of the lane, gets an open layup and got it.
Lauren Williams!
Williams gets to the lane at will when she wants to. She got 10 free throw attempts in the second half against Hofstra. And she is a lethal driver from the outside for Coach McCombs. Corner to the near side, and a travel is called. First substitution now. Davion Wingate will check in. Williams will take a seat. And with 6:07 to go here in the first quarter of play, it is 8-6 Lions here at Island Federal Credit Union Arena. Both teams shooting hot. They have combined for 7 of 11 from the field. Bain Walker gets around the screen. Footballs a pass inside to Manor, and a foul is going to be called. Two hands in the back. They're going to get Camille Zimmerman, it looks like. No, excuse me, they're going to get Tori Oliver. Two hands in the back of Viz Manor, and it will be Sewell's ball underneath. Worley hands off to Bain Walker on the left wing. To the elbow, Scognamiglio drives down the left side of the lane, goes up with it. Looked like she got hit. It was blocked away by corner, actually. And here comes Paulina right to left. Corner to the top with Little. To the right wing, Tori Oliver. Guarded by Worley. Right elbow, Zimmerman. Camille dribbles it out, kicks to corner. Left side of the top of the key. 15 to shoot for the Lions. Left elbow, Zimmerman. Guarded by Scognamiglio. Faces up. Shot is good. Zimmerman with 4 points here in the early going of Columbia's 10 total. And 5:20 to go now in the first quarter. It's Lions 10, Stony Brook 6. Wingate on the left wing. Davion dribbles across the top, drives down the right side of the lane, goes up with it on the right side, and a foul is called. Josie Little, brought her hands down and hit Wingate in the face. That will send the sophomore from Atlanta to the line for two free throws.
Her first and the team's second. Wingate to the line, two shots.
Wingate, a regular off the bench for Coach McCombs here in the early going of the season. First free throw is on the way and is good. Shooting 90% from the free throw line coming into today's game. That is good for third in the conference in the early going. Second shot is good for Wingate. She cuts the lead in half from 4-2. It is 10-8 Columbia. Here as we hit the halfway mark of the first quarter, Gio Perez has come on for Corey Bain-Walker here for the Seawolves. Little, let's go. The left elbow jump shot. It goes in and out. Ball tapped around. Grabbed by Scott Gamilio, and she's going to push left to right on the far side. Back to Gio Perez, and the Puerto Rican freshman will run the offense. Left side at the top with Worley. Lee looking inside. Manor at the free throw line. Biz, ball fake, kicks out. Left wing Worley, 15 to shoot. Aaliyah around a screen from Manor. Lee still going, lost the ball. It got tapped away by Oliver. And here come the Lions right to left. Tippett ahead to Oliver. One more. This is Little inside. The layup is no good. But a foul is called. Davion Wingate tried to get up for the block. Instead hit Josie Little. And that will send the sophomore to the line when we come back. Timeout on the floor with 4:33 to go in the first quarter. Hot shooting early. Columbia 10, Stony Brook 8. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
This is John Sterling. You're right where you should be, following Seawolves Sports on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
All right, Cameron Boone, thank you so much. Dave Mallow back here at the WUSB studios. A lot of action tonight in the America East. Bryant at New Hampshire. That game is still in progress right now, and we have a final. Hampton has defeated Maine by a score of 58-49. Just getting underway right now in the America East women's action. Albany is at Fordham tonight. Providence is in the Connecticut capital. They are taking on the Hartford Hawks, and it's Towson at UMBC. Also, quick reminder, the men are in College Park right now. They are just getting underway, taking on Maryland. We'll keep you posted on the score down there. Right now, Stony Brook trailing by two. Let's send it back to the arena. Cameron Boone.
Back here at Island Federal Credit Union Arena, I am Cameron Boone. That is Dave Mallow in the studio, giving you all of the updates here as they are still going through some of the marketing events in between the media timeouts here. As we said, hot shooting to start for both teams. Columbia, 10 points on 5 of 8 shooting. That's good for 63% from the field. Stony Brook, 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting. That is 50% from the field. Davion Wingate has made both of her free throws here to start. As we said, Columbia coming off of a good first half, or good second half comeback against St. Francis on Saturday afternoon, an 84-77 victory against St. Francis there. Stony Brook coming off of the loss against Syracuse on Friday night when the Seawolves hosted the Orange. This is the last of three here at home before they hit the road for four in a row. Starting on Saturday when they take on Manhattan, they will then head to Bonaventure as it is Josie Little at the charity stripe. The first one is on the way. It is off the mark to the right. The sophomore from San Francisco misses her first free throw of the season. Bends her knees, puts up the second one, misses that short. So an empty trip for Josie Little allows Stony Brook with a chance to tie with a two or take the lead with a three. Substitution on Lauren Williams is checked in. Leah Worley's taking a seat. Perez on the left wing. Gio drives down the right side, kicks out Wingate. She lets go at top of the key three. In and out. Rebound, Scott Emilio inside at the right block. There's a battle for it. And Keena Smith was battling inside. She recently came on for Biz Manor. It was two against one. Camille Zimmerman and Josie Little were down there. But Keena held strong and earned possession off the jump ball for the Seawolves. It is a new 30-second shot clock. Lauren Williams on the inbound in the right corner to Gio Perez. Gio kicks inside, goes